So today, lesson 9, called A Brave Heart, Overcoming Fear and Worry. Fear is a devastating force that can paralyze a person. It is likely that during this past year, more people in our nation have been gripped with fear than at any time in recent history. The virus that has resulted in over 500,000 deaths in America alone has prompted many people to panic, worry, despair, to feel threatened, to experience a loneliness and isolation to the point of depression and even suicide. For those who have never known the reality of the grace of God in their lives, the pandemic has been a terrible harbinger of foreboding, doom, and hopelessness. When hope is lost, all is lost. True Christians have been presented with yet another opportunity to apply the truths of Scripture through the power of the Holy Spirit to alleviate the anguish, desperation, and misery of so many who have suffered fear and anxiety without hope. During Jesus' earthly ministry, he often used the greeting, "Fear not," to calm the hearts of his followers. In this lesson, we will consider what the Bible says about fear. And so I want us to look at just a few examples of Scripture that talks about how we are to fear not. And do you know that talking about fear not, is mentioned over 365 times in the Bible? It is there so often. So it's as if God knew that his people needed it. First of all, from Genesis 26:24. "And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake." 1 Kings 17:13. "And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son protection in peril." 2 Kings 6:16. "And he," Elisha, "answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they be with them." Strength and weakness. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not afraid, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Companionship and trial, from Deuteronomy. "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that goes with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee." 6, watchful care. "But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear ye not, therefore ye are more valued than many sparrows." I have seen such beautiful birds since I've come back to Alabama. Absolutely beautiful. Right there in our backyard. One day, I think I may have seen 6 robin redbreasts. I've seen cardinals. I've seen some, I don't know what they are. And I've been so blessed by them. Because where I lived in Texas, in the hill country, it's pretty dry. And so we didn't have a lot of birds like this. They're just beautiful. And as I've been preparing this message, just lately, I've been thinking about how Jesus said, look at the birds of the air. They do not toil or spin, yet your heavenly Father, he takes such good care of them. And I look at how beautiful they are. And I think, now, why am I worrying? When Jesus is taking care of those beautiful birds. And then we're not to fear life beyond the grave. Revelation 1:17-18. And if any of you have been there on Sunday nights, Pastor Reeder has been doing an excellent job talking about what happens when you die. And I've been so encouraged. Because one of the first lessons he gave, he said, right then you're going to be with Jesus. right then. And that takes a lot of fear away, doesn't it? And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Divine encouragement. Exodus 14:13. And Moses said unto his people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. This past weekend, I had the blessing of babysitting for 5 of my son Mark's children. One was with her other grandmother, and then the baby was with them. And they introduced me to something I've really never seen or heard. Have you ever heard of sight and sound? Sight and sound. No. It's broadcast from Lancaster, Pennsylvania and Branson, Missouri. And it is where for almost 30 years, and I've never heard of it, but they take Bible stories and they act them out. And it's like a musical. It is absolutely beautiful. So, this past weekend, I watched 2 hours of Moses. And it's really amazing what they do when they have the Red Sea and when the Egyptians come in. It's just beautiful. Now, you do have to buy a pass to watch it, but it's worth it. I believe it's going to be April 2nd. I'm not sure. They're going to do a live performance of Jesus. So it should be beautiful. And then I watched another 2 hours of Esther. The costumes, it's professionally done. Absolutely beautiful. You just go on your website, go on your computer, and click on Sight and Sound TV. And it'll all come up. So during the pandemic my children did get COVID in Mississippi. So the whole family was sick. So my daughter-in-law said, I think they watched 18 hours. They watched Esther and Noah and Jonah. So we all had to figure out which was grandmother's favorite. Isaiah 41:13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. And Jesus, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. It makes me feel so good that Jesus seemed to understand that his people can get fearful. We can become afraid. Now let's look at some consequences of fear. Because you see, fear really does have some devastating consequences. Spiritually, if you allow fear to come into your lives, now all of us are going to experience fear at one time or another, so it's not that we can never go through life and never have it, but if you do go through this, you want to know what to do. And even if you have to go talk to your pastor or to a godly older woman, because fear is going to quench the Holy Spirit in your life. And it's going to grieve the Holy Spirit. And so you're going to lose your joy. You're not going to have the joy that you normally have. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Fear also is going to cause your faith to become weaker, because it says there in Hebrews 11:1, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When you fear, you have lost your faith in God. And then Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please God, because he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them who diligently fear him. Now, 1 John 4:18 is so true. Fear can bring torment. How many of you have ever experienced torment from fear in your spirit? There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. because fear has torment. He who fears is not made perfect in love. And it really does bring torment. And it brings torment to your mind. It brings torment to your heart, to your soul. And there are physical consequences that can come. Now, this is a very old book, but it's excellent. How to Win Over Worry. Because fear, you slide into worry. John Haggai. It's not the same as the pastor in San Antonio. It's a different person. But let me just share with you what he says about some physical consequences. Worry debilitates and even destroys the temple of God, which is your body. Let's review for a moment some of the ailments caused by worry. Heart trouble, high blood pressure, some forms of asthma, rheumatism, ulcers, cold, thyroid malfunction, arthritis, migraine headaches, blindness, and a host of stomach disorders. It causes palpitations of the heart, pains in the back of the neck, indigestion, nausea, dizziness, unexplainable fatigue, insomnia, allergies, and temporary paralysis. Many other reasons could be given to substantiate the fact that worry is a sin. So we go on down to number C, which is some mental consequences. And I thought this was so interesting. I got this from How to Win Over Worry. The word worry comes from the Greek word marineo. This is a combination of two words. Marizo, meaning to divide, and nous, meaning mind. In other words, worry then means to divide the mind. You have a divided mind. The worrier robs himself of peace of mind by dividing his mind. Another reason that we might call worry sin is because it shows that we really truly don't trust God. God's word says, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, this is also from this book. Worry says, thou liest, O God. God says, he doeth all things well. Mark 7:37. Worry says, thou liest, O God. God's word says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Worry says, thou liest, O God. God's word says, he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Worry says, thou liest, O God. God's word said, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Matthew 6:31-32. And worry says, thou liest, O God. Isn't that something? And so that's the reason that we want to know what to do. How do you conquer fear? Let me share just a little bit more with you from How to Win Over Worry from this book. Now, this was many years ago, but in 1957, 10,170 people died as a result of ulcers of the stomach and duodenum. It is firmly established that worry is the primary factor involved in stomach ulcers. One of the leading physicians stated that 70% of all patients who go to doctors could cure themselves if only they could get over their fears and worry. Dr. Robert Bone, again quoting from this book, more than 70% of the people coming to them say, doctor, I can't sleep. And the doctor will say, why? And the patient will say, I am so worried. So that's why it is so important that we learn what to do about it. And so Roman numeral number 3, how to conquer fear. And this comes out of my own personal experience. because as I've shared with you years ago, I went through a 4-year battle with anxious depression. And when you go through depression, you do experience a great deal of fear. And that's what happened to me. And God began to teach me, and I praise Him for it, what to do about it. Number one, realize that God has not given you a spirit of fear. That fear comes from Satan. It does not come from God. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, of love, and a sound mind. And when I saw that verse, I thought, well, if this fear is not from God, where is it coming from? And it was so encouraging to realize that. And once I realized that, then I went on down to number 2, and that's where I memorized 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. For the weapons of our warfare are carnal, not carnal, but mighty, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every lofty thing that goes against the knowledge of Christ. And so right then, that fear, I would say, in the name and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan, get out of my mind. And right then, I had my file of index cards, because I had looked up all the verses in the Bible on fear. And it took me a while, but finally I memorized them. But before I memorized them, I would get that index card out, and I would cast out that fear. And when you're going through a depression, you have some very unusual fears. Fears such as being in a large group of people. And so I would cast it out, and right then, I would quote, I would put something in its place. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not afraid, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And then I wrote down many, many promises of God. And I would claim those promises. Now, living in Texas, I began to learn about deer. It's an amazing phenomenon to me, because where we lived, when we lived on the ranch and then when we moved closer to town so we could minister to people, we might one day have 60 deer in our front yard. And I began to notice, especially on the ranch and then where I lived, deer always take the same path until they have worn a path. For me, it was wonderful because it gave me a place to hike. Always take the same path. Do you know that's the way negative thinking is? It'll always take the same path in your brain until you have a path for the deer to go in. Not deer, but worry. Negative thinking. That's why you want to replace the negative thoughts. You want to have God's Word. You want to replace it. Ephesians 3:20, and my God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you could ask or think. Jeremiah 33:3, call upon me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Joshua 1:9, and I'll share with you in a minute how God used that verse in my life. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong. Be of a good courage. Be not afraid, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So you want to replace each fear with Scripture. I like to use the parchment paper because I like to keep my Scriptures that God gives me. So, and I found a paper store at the summit. I was so excited. So you want to get a nice sheet of paper and draw a line down the middle. And up at the top, you're going to put my fear. And over here, you're going to put God's promises. And you write down every fear you have, every worry that you have, what you're concerned about now. And then you look up verses that will go against those fears. I started doing that right after Mark was diagnosed with hydrocephalus, and I was in the hospital with him, and some godly older women from Briarwood encouraged me to start writing down scriptures to help me to not fear that he was going to not be well. So you want to replace those. Once you've written those down, you want to keep them. I've got some that I've had, he's 47, for 47 years. That's where you want to reach out to God and you claim those verses. If you're in the car and you don't have time to get down on your knees and claim them, well, you just claim them as you're driving. And you just say, in the name and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan, get out of my mind. And right then, Bob always tells me, and he tells people he counsels with, he's got 4 seconds to get rid of it and put another thought in its place. Number 5, you want to rejoice in the love of God. Well, let's go over a few verses, though, about crying out to God. Psalms 86:7, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. It couldn't be plainer than that. Deuteronomy 31:8, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Fear thou not, neither be dismayed. Psalms 145:18-19. By the way, this is one of my favorite chapters. You can find so many attributes of God in this one chapter. In fact, you almost have to spend 2 days there. So many attributes of God. The Lord is nigh. What does that mean? He's near. Unto all that call upon him. To all that call upon him in truth, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. And I forgot to put down another one of my favorites, Psalms 107. 4 times. 4 times, it says. And they cried out to God in their distress. And God heard them and delivered them out of all their trouble. Now, the deliverance might not come in our time. The deliverance might not be exactly what we had hoped for. But the deliverance I've come to see is that Jesus Christ is with us through the valley. He's with us in the trouble. And he delivers us out of the fear and the worry and the panic and the anxiety. Philippians 4:6-7. Be anxious. And in some translations, that's do not worry for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. And what happens? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, that's what people want today. You cannot get peace out of a bottle, a capsule, pills. I'm sure Susan had many people come to her and say, Dr. McComb, I need some peace. Will you give me a pill that will make me peaceful? No, you get it from God's Word. Something else that I've done in the last few years, as in Texas, Bob and I started teaching a good news club for children, a child evangelism. Oh, we loved it. It's amazing, those children, what they take in. One little five-year-old used to come and say, oh, Mrs. Welch, isn't this just so fun? And I would, oh, thank you, Henry, for saying that. And so I found this wonderful book. Well, it's for children, but really it's wonderful. You can use it for adults. It's called God's Names by Sally Michael. And she takes you through many of God's names. Now, I wrote down 8 of his personal names. Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Jehovah Rophe, the Lord who heals. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is my peace. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord is my banner. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord is my righteousness. Jehovah Makadesh, the Lord who sanctifies. Jehovah Rophe, the Lord is my shepherd. And one of my favorite, it's right here, it's called Jehovah El Roi, R-O-I, and you pronounce the I as E, so it's Roi, the God who sees. And the first time you see it in the scripture was when Sarah got mad at Hagar and threw her out of the camp. And Hagar was out in the desert with Ishmael, and she had no food, no covering, no tent, nothing. And she was so afraid. But Hagar was not alone. God knew all about Hagar. He sent an angel to her. The angel told Hagar to go back to Sarah and to obey her. The angel gave her God's promise. Behold, you are pregnant and shall bear a son. Oh, excuse me, she didn't have Ishmael at this time. You shall call his name Ishmael because the Lord has listened to your affliction. He shall be a wild donkey of a man, his hand against everyone and everyone's hand against him. And he shall dwell over all against his kinsmen. God knew Hagar would have a child. He knew what Ishmael would be like. But God saw even more than that. He saw Hagar. He saw her thoughts and fears, her worries and feelings. He saw her loneliness and how she was treated by Sarah. He listened to her affliction. God saw and God understood and listened to what she said. So she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. You are a God of seeing. For she said, truly, here I have seen him who looks after me. God is El Roi, the God who sees. He is the God who sees everything and looks after everything. Psalms 145, the Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all he has made. Psalms 34, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against all those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. Do you want God to see? I'm reading from Sally Michael's book. And hear you with a special love and kindness when you cry out to him? Or do you want him to turn his face away? El Roi, the God who sees, always looks with special love and kindness on those who know him as Adonai, the Lord, who worship him as Elkanah, jealous God, who believe Jehovah El Emeth, the God of truth, who trust Jesus as their Savior. And this book starts out and it talks about the fact. She said, there are over 700 names of God. Isn't that amazing? If you were to count all the names, titles, and nicknames of God in the Bible, there are more than 700. Psalms 9:10. And those who know your name put their trust in you. And so what I've started doing, if I'm worried, and when you have 22 grandchildren, you have a tendency to worry, or I'm afraid, I start claiming God's names. Jehovah Jireh, you are the God who provides, and my God shall provide. Jehovah Rophe, you are the God who heals. Now, as I said, he doesn't always heal like we'd like for him to, but sometimes he does. But I love that new one I've learned, Jehovah El Roi, that God sees. God sees everything that's going on in your life. He sees everything that's going on in your children's lives. And when you cry out to him, he knows and he sees. And you see, Satan, he does not want you to run to God. Because Satan's desire, Jesus said, John 10:10, he came to kill, steal, and destroy. Kill your joy, destroy your body, destroy your hope, And so, what did Paul say? The weapons of our warfare are the sword of the Spirit. We get that sword out, and you begin to use that sword. In fact, you want to remember that we are in spiritual warfare. How do we resist the devil? Well, we can't resist the devil in our own strength, by the way. But we cry out to God. We do it just the way Jesus did. When Satan took him up to the temple and said, I will give you all of this if you will bow down to me. And what did Jesus say? Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Then Jesus said, it is written first. He said, it is written. That's how we're to do battle with God's word. Because we can't fight against principalities and powers. I'm very encouraged by James 4:7, because it said, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil. But what does it say? He will flee from you. So young ladies, if you are ever afraid, if you're ever alone, and the enemy begins to come in and put thoughts in you, right then, you say in the name and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan, get thee behind me. And if you're ever presented with a temptation, something that really you probably shouldn't go down that street, you claim verses right then. And 1 Peter 5:8, you're vigilant. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, goes about like an angry lion, seeking whom he may devour. But we have an almighty God who defeated Satan on the cross. Number 3, put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Well, I do believe this is the evil day. And having done all, to stand. What do you stand with? Stand therefore with your loins girt about with truth. You want to make sure you always tell the truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Now, if you turn a page, you're going to come to what is known as the warrior's prayer. I loved this. David Jeremiah. I thought this was so good. Heavenly Father, your warrior prepares for battle. Today I claim victory over Satan by putting on the whole armor of God. May I stand firm in the truth of your word, so I will not be a victim of Satan's lies. May it guard my heart as I put on the breastplate of righteousness from evil, so I will remain pure and holy, protected under the blood of Jesus Christ. Remember, we are all called to be holy. 1 Peter, be ye holy as I am holy. Holy comes the Hebrew word hagios. And that means pure. That means separated. That means we're clean. We're set apart. I put on the shoes of peace. May I stand firm in the good news of the gospel, so your peace will shine through me and be a light to all I encounter. I take the shield of faith. May I be ready for Satan's fiery darts of doubt, denial, and deceit, so I'll not be vulnerable to spiritual defeat. That particular shield of faith, when you do some research on it, it is an example of the way the Roman soldiers used to march into battle. And the way they would march, they would have a big row on front of men with this huge shield. Then they would have columns. And so the row on the side, each side, would have a huge shield. And then the row in the back would have a shield. And then the ones in the middle would have a shield they put up on top. That way, the enemy's arrows could not get through, hopefully. That's the same picture that Paul was trying to present. Put on the shield of faith so that we may be able to quench all those fiery darts that come at us. I put on the helmet of salvation. May I keep my mind focused on you so Satan will not have a stronghold in my thoughts. Oh, that's what Satan loves. He loves to come in and set up a stronghold. What is a stronghold? It is anything that goes against God, God's word, God's promises. I take the sword of the Spirit. May the two-edged sword of your word be ready in my hands so that I can expose the tempting works of Satan. By faith, your warrior has put on the whole armor of God. I am prepared to live this day in spiritual victory. Bob took those verses and he timed it. And he said it only takes about a minute and a half to say those words. So every morning before you get out of bed, you could say those words, because the enemy will attack you in bed. The enemy will attack you before you even get out of bed. And I can remember hearing a missionary who came to Briarwood years ago. I wish I could remember her name. But she would say, this is what she said. Good morning, Lord. This is your day. Show me your will for me today. And she would say that. Because the enemy doesn't wait till you get up and get dressed. He starts putting those thoughts in your mind as you wake up. That's why you want to read Psalms before you go to bed. You want to have God's word in your mind before you go to bed. Number five, I've already talked about, do not fight the enemy in your own strength. And number four, I just took a list of some common fears, some that I may have had in my life, some that maybe you have had in your life. And what I did, I put some verses to replace those fears. It's kind of a cheat sheet, but your assignment is to go home and make your own list of fears and look up your own verses. But I think many of us fear physical danger, don't we? And I want to share with you how God used Joshua 1:9 in my life in a powerful way. When we lived in Birmingham, lived up in Shoal Creek, a dear couple from Briarwood offered us their beautiful home every fall for 2 weeks up in Linville, North Carolina. They had two homes up there. It was at the base of Grandfather Mountain. And so it was beautiful. In fact, I love it. We would go up there. We would homeschool until 12. And then we would go on a long hike. My son Robert, seems like my sons always like to do something adventurous. And Robert said, you know, Mother, we've been hiking Grandfather Mountain now for a couple of years. Let's try something more adventurous. Well, to me, I could barely make it up Grandfather Mountain. I really had trouble. But I always wanted to try to be there for my children, get in that kayak and go down the river, whatever it was. And so I said, okay. So it was Robert, Mark, Bob, and me. And we went to a place called the Linville Gorge. Have any of you ever been there? It's beautiful. So we took our lunch. We got there about noon. The forest ranger gave us a map. We took the map. And we had our lunch. We ate everything except one apple. So we started hiking down that mountain. And we got to the very bottom. And that's where the river was, the gorge. And it was a fast-running river. And the map said to turn right. So we turned right, and we started hiking. And we started hiking. And we never saw the path to go back up. And all of a sudden, it was 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, up in North Carolina, the sun starts going down in those mountains. This was October. I know, I have it written in my Bible. October 14th, 1992. And Robert said, "Mother and Daddy, you, Mark and Lucy." I forgot to say Lucy was with us. "Y'all keep on going. I'll head on down this trail. I'm sure I'll find the trail that goes up. And I'll come get you." So he took off. And we kept hiking. And all of a sudden, it was getting dark. And Bob said, "We're just going to have to head up the mountain right here." So we started climbing up the mountain. There was no trail, only thick rhododendron bushes. We got halfway up the mountain, and we came to this area where it was about a 10-foot steep cliff. Now, I had a few places where you could put your feet. And I said, "There's no way I can get up that cliff." Mark has a real gift for climbing mountains. So he said, "Mother, I'll push you." So he kind of pushed me. He kind of pushed Lucy. We got up to this ledge. It was about 7 o'clock at night. It was dark. And Bob said, "We are going to have to spend the night right here in the Linville Gorge." Lucy started crying and said, "I don't want to do that." Bob said, "We don't have any choice." And so all we had to eat was one apple. We each took a bite of that apple, had no water. We knew that Robert was somewhere, not quite sure where. And, oh, I was so grateful. That week I'd received my new Land's End sweatshirt with a hood and with some warm pants. And I'd learned in some schooling I was doing that you lose heat through your head. You get hypothermia because it can get cold in October up there. So Bob said, "Okay, I want everybody to lie down, and I want you to, all of us to get real close." I remember Mark said, "Oh, this is really family together time, isn't it?" So we got real close, but none of us could sleep. Now, about every hour, I would wake up, and I would start to panic. And all of a sudden, God brought that verse to my mind. Joshua 9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong, be of a good courage, be not afraid, for the Lord thy God is with you right here in the Linville Gorge." And I would calm down. Then it would happen again. It happened all night long. Now, Bob didn't tell Lucy, Mark, and me that the ranger had told him to be careful, because that week they'd killed 6 bears in the forest. He also forgot to tell us the Linville Gorge is the most dangerous hiking wilderness area in this part of the country. He didn't tell us that. He said he had a plan. If a bear came, he was going to put all of us up a tree, have Mark with a switch, and to switch the bears away. I'm so glad I did not know about bears that night. It was about 5 o'clock in the morning. We couldn't sleep. And we thought, what are we going to do? And where is Robert? But God kept bringing that verse to my mind to keep me, you know, as the mother, you want to be calm. I'm brave. I'm going to protect my children when deep down you're scared to death. And so Mark said, I'll go out, try to find a place where we can go down back to where we came from. So he found a place where there was a stream going down the mountain. The water was about that thick. And so Bob said, "Okay, everybody sit down." And we scooted down those big rocks with that stream until we came to the bottom. We turned left, because at least we knew that, and we started walking. And all of a sudden, we looked up, and there was Robert with 2 men. Now, Robert had gone 8 miles down that path. If he had continued, he would have ended up in Charlotte, North Carolina, maybe a couple hundred miles away. It got dark. The only light he had was his watch. And so he said, "I think I'm going to have to spend the night. I'm not coming to another trail." And then he said, oh no, poor mother. He started walking back. He sat down because every now and then his foot would get wet from the river, and he saw a light. And he started going towards that light. He came upon two campers. Now, these were not just any kind of campers. They were the real thing. They had hot chocolate. They had soup. They had candy bars, granola bars. And they said, Robert, what are you doing in the Linville Gorge at this time of night? And he said, we've been on a hike, and we're lost. And they said, do you know where you are? Do your parents have a gun? And Robert said, no. And he said, you don't come here without a gun. What kind of shape are your parents in? Well, back then, Robert said, well, they're in pretty good shape. Can we go try to find them? And the men said, no, not at night, not in the Linville Gorge. So the next morning, they said, we'll go look for your parents. So here they come. Oh, by the way, these were Christians, lawyers. Praise God. They camped there before. So when I saw Robert, I broke. I started weeping. He said, Mother, why are you crying? He said, I'm alive. I said, I know. That's why I'm crying. Because we're all alive. It was like God gave me grace and courage through this, His Word. Up until I saw Robert, I realized we were totally exhausted. We'd been out 24 hours. No food, no water. And so they gave us water. They gave us food. And they said, let us look at your map. So we showed them our map. They'd given us an old map. We never would have found our way back. Bob, as an exhorter, thought it was great. This will be a great example. Young men and women, if you don't stay on the right path, you're going to end up lost out in the wilderness. I will say one thing it taught me. Because when we lived up in Shoal Creek Valley, we used to hike that mountain, Beaver Mountain. And I would all, from then on, I tried to be a little more prepared. I would take a water jug. If we ever went hiking up in the Linville area, we'd make sure we had matches, a little bag with snacks and that sort of thing. We were not prepared. We'd just been used to hiking in the mountains here up an hour from Birmingham. And so, but God's Word kept me from panicking. So remember, if you go hiking, have God's Word and have a good bag full of supplies. All right. Another fear or danger we might have is problems that are too big to handle. How many of you ever experienced that? Just, Lord, this is too big for me. Don't we love that verse? 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 20. Well, really, I love the whole chapter where Jehoshaphat said, Lord, look at all of these Ammonites and all of these Moabites and all of these people who are coming up against us. Lord, we don't have the strength to go against them. And then look at what God said. Verse 16, tomorrow ye go down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. And then verse 17, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still. See the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. There are going to be some battles in life that are too hard for us to fight. Who knows what happened that next day? Oh, I love this. God told the prophet who told King Jehoshaphat, get all the people, your children, your families together and praise God. They started singing and praising the Lord. What happened to those people the next day? Who can tell me? Sue?
They were going to take the position of the Lord and the
Yes. Yes.
I love that too.
I do too. You stand, and I will fight the battle for you. Number C, another fear is loneliness. I may have shared I had the great privilege of being with Elizabeth Elliott for many years teaching in Dallas. And so I got to sit in on all of her classes. And I still have my notes. They're kind of worn and old, but I love them. I think she was one of the best communicators I've ever listened to. And she gave a talk on loneliness one time, and I just wrote down everything she said, so I loved it. I want to share with you. She said, loneliness is a human condition. Sin brought loneliness into the world. All the great men of the Bible experienced loneliness. Then she said, aloneness is a good thing. Turn your loneliness into solitude and your solitude into prayer. And then she would say, a time of silence is good for you. Our hearts are lonely till they rest in Him who made us for Himself. Only Jesus can satisfy the deepest needs of our heart. If you can learn to go to Jesus with your heartache, your hurts, place your expectations in Him, then and then only will you have peace and true joy. Accept your loneliness without bitterness, she said. Realize that loneliness is a chance to die to self. Our loneliness cannot always be fixed, but it can always be accepted as the very will of God for now, and that turns it into something beautiful. And then she quoted from C.S. Lewis that pain is God's megaphone. He whispers to us in our pleasures, He speaks to us in our conscience, but He shouts to us in our pain. The pain of loneliness is one way in which God can get our attention. And then she gave us a list of some things to do if you're walking through heartache or loneliness. Number one, she said, be still and know that I am God. Number two, she said, remember that you're never alone. Number three, give thanks to God for your loneliness. Number four, do not engage in self-pity. Number five, offer up your loneliness as a sacrifice. And she said, you know, we give God our tithe. We give Him our time. Give Him your loneliness. And she said she would get down on her knees in front of the bed after her first husband, Jim, died. I believe there were 13 years before she married Addison Leach. And she would just put her arms up like this and say, Lord, I give you my loneliness because I am so lonely. And then do something kind for someone less fortunate. She said that is just a wonderful, wonderful healer. And I can remember the first time that I ever experienced loneliness. We had moved way out into Shoal Creek Valley because Bob had a vision of building a retreat center, debt-free, where young people could come for counseling or to have retreats or to just hike up in the mountains. And this was before we had heard about homeschool. And so Bob and the children would leave about 6 in the morning and drive into Briarwood, where Bob was teaching. And so I was by myself, all alone, from 6 in the morning till they got home at 7 at night. Now, I was living in an unfinished home. I had no neighbors. Many times I had no car. And I could remember getting down on my knees and saying, Lord, I am so lonely. I'd grown up in the city. I'd always been around family. At LSU and college, you're always around people. And I can remember a friend of mine sent me a card and it said, look for the blessing. And I thought, there's got to be a blessing here somewhere. I'm out here. There are not even any cows to talk to. It is truly isolated. And so I started saying, Lord, help me look for the blessing. And the first blessing was our radio was able to pick up Moody Bible Radio, whereas you couldn't get it in Birmingham. So I started listening. I was probably their most loyal fan. I would listen to Edwin Lutzker. I would listen to Moody. They would have Founders Week where they have all these wonderful speakers. And so I would just listen all day long. And I remember one day when I was really feeling lonely because I could get the house cleaned up by 8 o'clock. I could have my devotional by 9, do my walk. And so Chuck Swindoll came on the radio and he said, is there anybody out there lonely? And I went, yes, that's me. And he said, if you're lonely today, you need to thank God for it. He said, the only kind of person God uses is the person who's had to walk through loneliness and brokenness. I'd never heard that before. And so I tried to start thanking God for that loneliness. And it wasn't long after that that we met a godly woman named Meryl Stringer, who was the head of the Hannah Home for Abused Women. They had their home out close to where we were, I think, so the husbands couldn't find them. And we had dinner with her one night, and she asked, would you like to teach these ladies? I said, yes. So on Fridays, I would drive over to the Hannah Home, and I would teach those ladies. You know, I would leave that Hannah Home. I wasn't lonely anymore. I wasn't lonely as I saw the lady, as I've shared with you, who had her baby in downtown Birmingham and put it in a box in a car. I wasn't lonely when I saw the lady humped over. She had 38 stitches in her back where her husband tried to stab her. I wasn't lonely when I saw two mothers with two beds and maybe four baby beds in one small room, all the children together. Sometimes there might be 35 women out there. And it truly set me free. I would drive home singing and praising God. I'm so grateful for that time. After I taught and the Lord showed us to homeschool and then Bob came home. He was our principal. Our whole family would go to the Hannah Home. And Bob would teach the women. And I would take my children. And we would take all the children. And have like a Good News Club for all those children. So I really believe that's where Lucy, who was 8 years old when she started homeschooling, that gave her a love for ministry back then. Because then she started a little Bible study for three girls who lived not too far from us, whose parents were divorced. They were living with their grandparents. They were not Christians. And every week they would come and Lucy would take them through the child evangelism material. It was so exciting to see them years later that they had all become Christians. Fear of the future. How many of you have ever had that fear? Fear of the future. My favorite verse that I use to go against that is Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14. For I know the thoughts I think towards you. All of you say it with me. For I know the thoughts. Y'all say it with me. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again to the place where I caused you to be carried out captive. I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of good and not of evil. Different translations have different verses. Another failure might be a fear of failure. Someone might ask you to stand up and give your testimony, maybe the first time you ever did it, and you did not want to do it. You were scared to death. But what are we told? What's the verse to go against that? 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is He who calls you. He will also do it. And then from 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, and He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Number F, lack of strength to complete our responsibilities. Philippians 4:3 could go against that one. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or maybe you have a fear that you're not saved. Maybe you're just not sure. First of all, it'd be good to go talk to somebody. But then you want to claim a verse like Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Maybe you worry that you do not have purpose in your life. God has a purpose. For you young girls in this room, for your mothers, for those of you who are not married, for singles, comes from John 15:8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. John 15:16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit shall remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, you shall do. Now, what kind of fruit is he talking about? The fruit of souls, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the disciples. For the mother of children, the enemy wants to come in and say, all you do is sit around and wash dishes and fold clothes. Don't you wish you could be out having a wonderful time? As you can tell, this book has gotten a lot of use. Edith Schaefer, in her book, What is a Family? And I'm glad I quoted it right here. What is a family? It is a museum of memories. What do you do? You're just a housewife and a slave, aren't you? A nursemaid to a bunch of kids. No. I have a fantastic job. A terrific career. I'm a curator in a museum of memories. You're tied down by a whole family? What a bore. Don't you wish you could get away for a real good time? No, I can't waste my time that way. I am a collector, you see. I have to spend my time collecting. Whenever I'm not tied up in my work, I collect memories for our family museum. For the single woman, God has a beautiful purpose for your life. How would you like to be a Daniel 12:3 woman and shine as the stars forever? And they that are wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever. You are going to shine as the stars forever as you teach Sunday school, as you teach vacation Bible school, as you take care of the widows and the orphans. You see, God has a purpose for every single one of you in this room. And the enemy wants to come in and discourage you and say, oh, you're not worthy. All you do is stay home and cook. Remember what Dr. Redpath said? Victorious Christian Living book. We need to put a little plaque at our kitchen sink that says, God's will being done here 3 times daily. Amen. And then number 5, the one fear that eliminates all other fears is the fear of the Lord. We are to fear the Lord. What does that mean? Well, number one, it means to be very aware that a loving Heavenly Father sees every single word, every action, and every thought that is in my life. We might say, oh, nobody saw me do that. Nobody heard me say that. We have a God in heaven who hears everything, every single word. Number two, one day we will be held accountable for every single word and action and thought. 1 Corinthians 3:12-15, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. We want to be sure that everything we do with a heart that is pure, not for selfish gain. We want to fear God because it shows that we love Him. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. To fear God, it doesn't mean that you're scared to death of Him because He loves you. But it means you have a deep reverence for God. And that means that you don't want to do anything that is going to displease Him. Reverence is honor and respect that is deeply felt and outwardly demonstrated. Because of the Lord God's awesome power and majesty, He is deserving of the highest level of reverence. We reverence God by the way we live. We reverence God by learning how to truly worship Him. And lastly, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And then last, Luke 1:50, His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. What about you this morning? Are some of you dealing with some fears? And maybe those fears have just about caused you to get sick or paralyzed you. Well, I wanted to take a little time and just go through this prayer that Bob wrote. But before I do that, you see the practical application section? I want you to get a bigger sheet of paper and write down all your fears and all your worries and look up verses that go along with that. In closing, let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. And as I pray this prayer, you pray it after me in your heart, with every head bowed and every eye closed. Dear Heavenly Father, I acknowledge that Jesus came to this earth to conquer sin, death, and the devil, and in so doing, to set us free from the bondage of fear. I confess that I have given in to harmful fear and anxiety and have failed to claim your promises for protection and provision. I do hereby reaffirm my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Lord and Master of my life. You have told us, Heavenly Father, that perfect love casts out all fear, and that you have not given us a spirit of fear. In Jesus' name and through the power of His shed blood, I renounce the work of Satan and his spirits to cause fear in my life, laying hold of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I purpose to be strong and courageous, recognizing that your power is made perfect in weakness. Help me to put off fear gain a new attitude in my heart, and put on the love of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.